Amen. Do you hear me? Am I clear? All right. Thank you so much. Yes, when we all get to heaven, that's really a great reunion. Praise the Lord. So, Sabbath blessing, everyone. And today is January 13, 2024. And before we proceed, please kneel for prayer if you can. We're going to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we continue to ask your Holy Presence as we proceed to this sermon hour. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide us. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children's study and the adult study that we have earlier. We also pray for to bless and prepare our hearts as we have our Lord's Supper today. I also ask you to please broaden my tongue as I continue to speak in your behalf. We also pray, Father, for all the family of Sister Marie and Sister Felice during this time of grieving. Hug them, O Lord, and let them feel your comforting love. Please, Father, forgive us for all the sins we have committed against Thee, and may You grant us peace and joy as we worship You this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, again, this Sabbath is our first Lord's Supper of the year, 2024. But as usual, before we go to the actual ordinance, we will first have our sermon. And you will see the link of our note in the text chat. So you can follow along, especially those who are in the radio, WTPR. Just type the in your browser, sdrmovement.org/note/01-1324.html. That's today's date. So our topic is about consecration. It is entitled A Consecrated Life. A consecrated life is living the life of Christ. It means carrying a living sermon for people around us every day. We may be the only Bible that people can read, as Pastor Nick always say. Remember that? Which is true. What we do, what we say, these are the fruit we bear that will bring glory to God. The word consecrate means to set apart, dedicate, or devote to the service and worship of God. It's often rendered to be holy, sanctify, clean, and purify. Also, it means to submit. Yes, consecration is one of the underlying principles of the fourth commandment. In Ezekiel 20 verse 12, it says, "Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them." The seven-day Sabbath is a sign of sanctification and consecration. And by keeping the Sabbath day holy, we are sanctified or consecrated. In fact, one dear sister greeted me a happy Sabbath last night. She said, when Sabbath comes, all of a sudden the woes of life seem to melt away and the feeling of God's love for us takes over. That's beautiful. I echo that, for it is so true. And I praise God for this holy day. In Exodus 32:29, if you have your Bible also, open it in Exodus 32:29. And the setting was after the golden calf apostasy. Moses said to the Levites, remember the Levites, they are the ministers, the priests in the temple. So Moses said to the Levites when he first gave them their orders, Exodus 32:29. Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Devote yourself to His service by obeying His orders and His commands. Keep in mind that we are God's people in these last days. And according to 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In Psalms 4:3 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Yes, the Lord set apart. That is godly. For himself. The moment we consecrate and dedicate ourselves over to God, he will claim us as his own. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians 3:27, it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." This is important. Remember baptism by immersion. By immersion, not sprinkling as the Catholic dogma. This is an entrance to Christ's spiritual kingdom. That is why you cannot partake the Lord's Supper without accepting the baptism first. Baptism is without, and then the Lord's Supper is within the church. So these sacred ordinances are outward signs that we acknowledge Christ. The moment we publicly accepted and confessed Christ as our personal Savior through baptism, we receive Christ as our righteousness and sanctification. We obtain union with him. We submit to his will. We imitate his example. Our thoughts, our feelings will be devoted to Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So as a result, we live a consecrated Christian life. During the time of King Hezekiah, when he reestablished the temple service during his time, he said to the people in 2 Chronicles 29:31, "Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings." Remember the morning and the evening burnt offering during the sanctuary service symbolizes the daily consecration of God's people and their dependence upon the atoning blood of Christ. And how is this applied to all Christians? To all of us now? How? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Romans 12, 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The Apostle Paul uses these sacrifices to illustrate what the followers of Christ will become. As a living sacrifice, we must dedicate ourselves, our talents, our property, and all to him. Because by consecrating and surrendering our hearts to God, he made us a promise in Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13, he said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Yes, when we commit ourselves to God, we must give up all that separates us from him. And what is a proof of our discipleship? Jesus said in Luke 14:33 says, "Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We are to forsake all to be his disciple. But the question is, what does it mean to forsake all? And we have the answer in Steps to Christ 46, paragraph 1. Steps to Christ 46.1. But what do we give up when we give all? A sin polluted heart, for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood, and to save by his matchless love. And yet, men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. So, we must surrender and give everything to God or nothing at all. For God will not accept a divided heart. God doesn't want half of your heart. He wants your whole heart or none at all. He is not happy. He is not pleased with a divided service and affection. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So a servant cannot serve two masters at the same time. Because when his feelings and obedience are divided, he fails completely in his duty to one or the other. He would prefer one over the other. He would adhere to the interests of one and disregard the interests of the other. Yes, this is human nature. This is a law of human nature. Only one object can hold the greatest sympathies. That's why Jesus taught us that a servant of God cannot be what? Greedy, selfish, or cannot seek greatest treasures on earth at the same time. We must give up one or the other. Again, there will be no half-hearted consecration or partial obedience. We are instructed to always offer the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. David used this sacrifice of praise to express what? Praise and thanksgiving. In Psalms 116:17, it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. So every day, we must offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. We also have to commit all our plans to Him. That's why in Steps to Christ, page 17, it says, consecrate yourself or yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me. And let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. each morning, consecrate yourselves to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. This consecration also applies if you are a parent with children. Because in 70, volume 7, page 44, it says, each morning, consecrate yourselves and your children to God for that day. Make no calculation for months or years. These are not yours. One brief day is given you, as if it were your last on earth. Work during its hours for the Master. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also, as a lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Because we are all called to be His body, His spiritual home, His church, the service of consecration must be done at all times. In fact, today, Jesus is inviting you and me to the same consecration that He did. He is telling everyone in Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. A consecrated life is a learner. He or she is a disciple of Christ. The school of Christ has no graduation ceremony. No? Christians will be students in this school from this life until eternity. When we reach heaven, we will keep on learning. We will keep on growing spiritually. Romans 8 verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what is that? He is none of His. So, if our life does not bear the same fruit as Christ, that means we are none of His. We may actually profess to be a Christian. You know, like the Isaiah 4:1 type of Christians. His life is full of retention. He's actually not a true Christian. He is what? Living a lie. But a consecrated life will bear the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22-23. Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you count to that? Nine qualities, nine fruit of the Spirit that must be seen in our life. Because when we are truly consecrated to God, we will be able to recognize and discern God's voice. And we will be ready to respond like Isaiah when he heard the voice of the Lord in Isaiah 6:8, "Here am I, send me." Lord, here am I, send me. So a consecrated Christian will value God's word over the pleadings of human friends. In fact, he will be willing to go in any direction indicated out by the word of God, even if it means losing his friendship with his father, mother, sister, brother, husband, or wife. Because in Matthew chapter 10, 37 to 39, Matthew 10, 37 to 39, "He that loveth father or mother than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." My brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with loving our parents, our brothers and sisters. But if we love them more than Christ, then we are not worthy. Wholehearted consecration is what we needed. Our relationship with Jesus is more than our earthly relationship. In volume 3 of the Testimonies 500, paragraph 2, Treaty 500.2, "No earthly ties, no earthly considerations should weigh one moment in the scale against duty to the cause and work of God. Jesus severed his connection from everything to save a lost world." Imagine, he left heaven for us. Continue and said, "And he requires of us a full and entire consecration. There are sacrifices to be made for the interests of God's cause. The sacrifice of feeling is the most keen that is required of us. Yet, after all, it is a small sacrifice. Let us all admit, we are all human. We are too emotional. But feeling is not faith, it's different. But this sacrifice of feeling is just a small sacrifice. Yes, again, we love our families. We must fulfill all our obligations to them. But this must be regarded as a secondary matter. Jesus is first, the last, and the best of everything in our life." In Christ Object Lesson, COL 36, paragraph 2, COL 36.2. "So those who are called to unite with Christ must leave all in order to follow him." What does it mean? It says, old associations must be broken up. Plans of life relinquished. Maybe we are planning after 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, we're going to be like this. But no, we have to surrender to God our plans. earthly hopes surrendered. In toil and tears, in solitude, and through sacrifice, must the seed be sown. Our willingness to serve, our full consecration and surrender to God will not allow anything or anyone, no matter how important to us, to hinder the path of duty that God has made plain for us. Why? Because our eyes are fixed upon God. David said in Psalms 123 verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God." We look up. My dear brothers and sisters, we are about to face the coming crisis, and we need total consecration to endure it. In Gospel Worker 323 of Gospel Worker, "The Lord wants us to come up into the mount, more directly into His presence. We are coming to a crisis which, more than any previous time since the world began, will demand the entire consecration of everyone who has named the name of Christ. May God make His servants wise through the divine illumination, that the impress of man may not be seen on any of the great and important enterprises before us." In Signs of the Times, Signs of the Times, October 26, 1888, paragraph 8, we're told, "A consecrated Christian life is ever shedding light and comfort and peace. It is purity, tact, simplicity, and usefulness. It is controlled by that unselfish love that sanctifies the influence. It is full of Christ and leaves a track of light wherever its possessor may go." Finally, brothers and sisters, in Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, when the children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan River into Canaan, which is the promised land, they were commanded by God through Joshua. Joshua 3:5 says, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So let us all consecrate our bodies, souls, and spirits to God today. Let us consecrate all our talents and abilities to Him without reservation or doubt today. Let us give Him our whole heart. Let us repent and give up all the sins that separate us from Him. And let us strive to be holy and upright and perfect today. Only then can God's promise of deliverance will be assured for us. Let us all truly believe and wait for the Lord, and let us be faithful until the end. For surely the Lord is ready to do wonders among His people, among us. Tomorrow, I hope and pray that you are blessed with what we shared this Sabbath day. And this concluded the first part of our sermon hour. And after 15 minutes, we will go on to the second part. But allow me, before we begin the ordinance of feet washing. The feet washing symbolizes humility and penitence, the self-examination and reconciliation. This is in preparation for eating at the Lord's Supper. Please allow me, my dear brothers and sisters, I would like to sincerely ask for your forgiveness if I have offended any of you. Please forgive me and my sister wife if we did something wrong against you. I love you and thank you, and glad God bless you all. So let us now end the first part of the program, then take a 15-minute break. We will proceed to feet washing. The time now is on my clock is 2:18. So we're gonna be back on 2:38. So the time now is 2:18, and then we will resume at 2:38. Then we will partake in the Lord's Supper. Following that, you will hear worship song. Thank you, Brother Dwayne, while we are washing each other's feet. I will see you in 15 minutes. Praise the Lord.
He called me Master and Lord, and He said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and He said, well, so I am. If I then your Lord and Master, what shall be? He also ought to wash one another's feet. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. So, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well.
Thank you. Oh, to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, mighty Lord, for you, mighty Lord, for you, Lord, my love. Although in my weakness, in temptation I was trapped, you gave your hand to me, you helped and led me up. Now walking, I'm walking with the knowledge of your heart. My life will be much brighter with you. Lord, all my life, to you will I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have to rise. My voice awakes, to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, Lord, for you, Lord, my life. Seasons and seasons fade away, and each night breaks into new day. To you I surrender. My life's not to surrender, with longing in my heart to see your face. Lord of my grace, to you will I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have to rise. My voice I raise, to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, my dear Lord, whom you, Lord, my love.
Thank you. nothing can for sin atone. Not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood.
Okay, we are back. Let's continue our program. And we are going to read first in Review and Herald, November 4, 1902. Review and Herald, November 4, 1902, paragraph 8 and 9. First, in paragraph 8, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to the disciples to be celebrated till Christ should come the second time with power and great glory. So the Lord's Supper is actually a celebration, and it's really a privilege that we are part of this celebration today. And, you know, we are doing this ordinance at least every 3 months, right? That's why today, this month, January, and the next ordinance will be after 3 months. So let's try not to miss this celebration every 3 months, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, let's continue reading. So this ordinance of the Lord's Supper is the means by which he designs that the great deliverance wrought out for us as the result of his sacrifice shall be kept fresh in our minds. And when the ordinances are celebrated as the Lord has commanded, messengers from the throne of God are present, listening to the words of confession and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those who thus obey Christ and turns their thoughts into spiritual channels. And as the disciples of Christ, they seem to be passing through the garden consecrated by the agony of Him who bore the sins of the world. They witness the struggle by which our reconciliation with God was obtained. This is a very solemn and sacred service, my dear brothers and sisters. Why? Because the holy angels are present. They heard the confessions and forgiveness, even the one we type in the chat room. And they write pardon opposite our names in our book in heaven. Jesus is here also by His Holy Spirit and is speaking to our hearts. And He is bringing conviction to our hearts and give us the spiritual strength that we needed. That's why Jesus said in John 13:17, He says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." That's why it is a wonderful time. Are you happy today? Are you blessed? Yes, because we know these things. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Let us read these passages. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Remember that the unleavened bread symbolizes the body of Christ. And in verse 25 says, "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" The cup of wine represents the blood of Christ. The unleavened bread represents Christ's broken body, while the wine of the pure and fermented grape juice symbolizes the blood that was spilled at the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." So as we partake of this Holy Supper, we are reminded of the promise that Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, will return to take us to heaven to spend eternity with Him. And finally, before we eat, let's contemplate what Jesus longs to do in person with us in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 26:29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And with that, we're going to pray for the bread and the unfermented wine before we eat. So I invite you to kneel down if you can. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please bless this bread and wine, symbolizing the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, as we honor His sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for the great privilege to have part in this ordinance. Thank you for the spiritual food we have received today as well. And we consecrate our life to you to the best of our abilities through Christ who strengthens us. We sincerely desire to be in that kingdom where Jesus, our King, our God, and our Redeemer, will share the fruit of the vine with us face to face. And thank you so much for cleansing us from our sins. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will request you to please stay on your knees. And in Matthew 26:26, it says, Jesus said before eating the bread, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And so, we begin to eat the bread. Please eat the unleavened bread. Okay. Now, let us continue by reading the rest of Matthew 26:27-28 before we start to drink the wine. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And with that, we drink the wine. Please drink the unfermented wine. Okay. And finally, in Matthew 26:30, we read, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So, we're going to close our service with a song followed by a closing prayer.
From man to all the land,
in lobby, prepared to meet the Lamb. Give glory to the Prince of Peace, glory to the Lamb. Lift up your voice and praise His dear name. You promised redemption to a lady. You strive to follow in His footsteps. Men and women, children young and old, raise your voices in one and heart. Give glory to the Prince of Peace, proclaim to all the land. Jesus is coming, prepare to meet the Lamb. Give glory to the Prince of Peace, glory to the Lamb. Lift up your voices and praise His dear name. Give glory to the Prince of Peace, proclaim to all the land. Jesus is coming, prepare to meet the Lamb. Give glory to the Prince of Peace, glory to the Lamb. Lift up your voices, lift up your voices.
Prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, compassion, mercy, love, and salvation that you have provided for us. You are so gracious. We honor and glory your holy name because you deserve all these things. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light and becoming a part of your children who will inherit eternal life. Please send your Holy Spirit to control our lives. Please shower us the large measure of the latter rain, the 10 times power you have promised for your church. Please help us as we strive to prepare for your kingdom. And please, stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. All of this we pray in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.